Okay. My blue bar is much bigger this week.
I got audacity.
At least that's what she said.
Ah, classic. I also wanted to mention, Craig, that once again, by sticking to my own philosophy and avoiding yours, I once again prosper while you once again suffer.
Uh-oh.
The Wheel of Time? Awesome.
Oh, yeah, I said if you have not read the books, I think you would enjoy it.
You are right.
Yeah.
And I do. It's awesome. I can't wait to finish it.
Oh, we have Sartop for the win, by the way.
Ooh.
Easily, since he's still the only one in. Oh, no, there's Parandiac.
So, yeah, I've been really enjoying that show.
I just started last night watching the show that I'm never going to be able to remember the name of it. The John Cena show.
Peacemaker.
Yeah, that's it. That's the first interesting first episode.
Peacemaker's fantastic.
Yeah, I will say genuinely, like, it starts good, but gets even better.
Do you really, really want to taste it?
Did you see that?
Hey, Alpha.
I can't remember her name right now. She played Hardcourt.
Yes, Jimmy Gunn's girlfriend?
Yeah, his fiance now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not realize that they were in a romantic relationship. I thought he and Ms. Holland were just co-workers.
Yep.
Maybe even a boss-subordinate kind of situation, which makes it even weirder for me.
Mm.
Teeth.
All right, Craig. Whenever you're ready, I'm ready.
Oh, you guys were saying teeth. With a T.
Oh, but did you hear?
I heard Heath. And I was like, is Heath on this show? Like, I'd be super stoked if he popped on this show.
Oh, I was just like, I could go for a Heath bar. That does sound delicious.
No, I'm just thinking like, oh man, we've really made it if Heath Miller is like following the show. Like, Heath!
Oh, well, that would be bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would mark us making it per se, but.
Who's Heath Miller?
Heath Miller is a retired tight end from the Pittsburgh Steelers from like 15 years ago.
Yikes. He retired like 2 years ago.
It's not even close.
Yes.
2 years ago. He hasn't played football since I was like 10.
Oh, bullcrap. Hold on.
His career ended in 2016.
There you go. That's a couple of years ago.
That's 10 years ago.
Seven.
Okay, well, split the difference.
Six. Six.
Five. The 2022 season hasn't even started yet. That's next year.
5 years. Exactly what I suspected.
Anyway, right?
Free time now. Maybe he plays Marvel Puzzle Quest.
The key to him is that anytime he would catch the ball, the entire stadium would shout Heath. So.
Yep, and they liked it so much that they will shoehorn it into any tight end now.
Yep. Yeah. Now that our new tight end is called Friermuth, so now Muth. it's Muth. Yeah. And yet again, because everybody in the league copies everybody else, when I hear it in other stadiums for other players, it just makes me angry.
That's fair.
When they stole our terrible towels to use in their crap stadiums, when they steal our chants, I'm sure somebody's playing Renegade for no good reason, you know, like you do. All right, let's talk about the show.
Do it, Doug.
Greetings, true believers. Welcome to the 328th fake installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3. We got Ian, we got Ray, we got me. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
You all right, Ty?
Sorry, you said big installment, but I heard vague installment, and I was like, I guess. Will you touch on Marvel Puzzle Quest now and again?
Once in a while. I don't know. Apparently, I can't hear anything tonight anyway, so I've bungled every word that somebody said, so... this is the week of 2/23 to 3/2 here in the years that never end, 2022. Over the 5-day 4-star crash! On the 21st, we had Rhodey versus Thanos. How was your newly reworked Rhodey?
Successful.
All right.
I won. I don't remember what I did. I just kept hitting buttons until Thanos went away.
I have to say, I did not really notice all the changes. Like, I also wasn't really looking for them, but finished it out no problem. Thanos went away quick.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, he was surprisingly effective.
Kind of number next is good old Wasp versus, I don't know, somebody.
Right on.
What do we got? Well, I got three different builds there we got going on.
Yeah, we do have a pretty good variety. I like mine the best. But I gotta say, I like Ray's makes the most sense, but I like it the least because I like her blue ability a lot.
Which one's her blue? Is that the,
That's that buzzing sound.
The buzzing sound, yeah.
Mm.
Cause I don't have to do anything and I occasionally get really lucky with it.
Right.
Now, like, I can see the usefulness of her yellow. I just don't, you know, unless I grab her specifically because she's a tile enhancer, then I don't know. You're not wrong. That's what I'm feeling.
I just don't like the idea of having a power that relies on the computer to do something like the other team.
I fully hear you.
Wow. Look at that split. 355, 535, and 553 are, I mean, that's not a significant difference.
That's pretty close. Yeah.
I like the fact that I have the most popular build there at the 454.
Yeah, or least, depending on whether or not you're staying on your head.
I only slightly edged you out, and I'm only slightly behind 544.
That's funny.
That's sad.
That cracks me up when stuff like that happens. All right, Storyland. You got Meat Rocket and or Groot is running. That'll get you an Angel, a Quake, some Archangel Shards. Placement there is Star-Lord and Ghost Driver, I believe. Honor Among Thieves is next. Doc Ock, Star-Lord, Ghost Rider. Placement there is new character and Abigail Brand. So new character and slightly less new character.
Nice.
That'll be followed up by Operation Spider Silk, which is Iron Fist, new character, Abigail. Placement, Deadpool, Melinda May, and Cersei. So lots of new things coming up there in rewards. Mine season's still going on. Right now we got Wakanda Forever going. That'll get you Deadpool, the King of Wakanda. Placement is Miles and Colossus. That'll be followed up by Web 2.0. That'll get you some Kamala Khan, the new character, and Cyclops. And then that'll be followed up by the new character, PvP. All right, so let's jump into the new character then.
Okay.
He's a 4-star. We never saw this one coming. Oh, wait. When we actually got right for once ever, we got Rhino, who is a green, black, and blue.
I have not read this yet, but from what I've heard from other people, I'm excited to find out what he's doing.
Well, hold on. I'll read it to you, because I haven't read it yet either.
Okay.
Green power, trample, 8 green. Deal damage to the enemy team and destroy a random 3x3 block of tiles. If Rhino was in front, also stun a random enemy for one turn. Destroyed tiles do not deal damage or generate AP. As you're going up in level, you're going to get to dealing a max of 1,044 damage to the enemy team. You're destroying in addition to the 3x3 block, you're also destroying 4 enemy or basic tiles, enemy special tiles or basic tiles, and stunning for 3 turns.
Hmm.
So 3 turns stun on green, 8 green.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like 3 turn stuns. his black power, I just read because it's J.J. Walker. It is Rhino Might! 7 black. Rhino deals damage, creates 2 fortified protect tiles, and enemy strike tiles. Whenever an enemy strike, attack, or protect tile is matched or destroyed, Rhino deals damage and jumps to the front. All these numbers increase it up as you go. Level 5, you're dealing max 2,462 damage, making 3 fortified protectiles, dealing more damage, jump in the front. You got it. You know how it goes. All right, so he's another special tile get-ridderer. Is that a word? Get-ridderer? One who gets rid of? I don't know.
I don't think so, but you can run with it. That's
fine. Okay. His blue power. This is a passive, Hidebound. Passive, Rhino takes 15% less damage from enemy powers. All right. Friendly protectiles are 6% more effective if he's in front. Rhino's green, blue, and black base match damage is increased by 50%. All right, those are all good. All these numbers increase as you go up. To level 5, you're taking 58% less damage from enemy powers.
Nice.
That's substantial. Friendly protectiles are 25% more effective. And Rhino's green, blue, and black base damage is increased. Base match damage is increased by 200%.
Wow.
This seems pretty strong for a 4-star.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
Really does. Now, Rhino should be strong, but wow.
I'm digging that blue power.
Is that the hide?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I really like that stun. I like three turns of stun. I gotta go. I'm gonna 5-3-5, or whatever combination I get. You know, when I get them.
Right. But which, yeah, that's what you're actually gonna use. Right.
That's correct.
Interesting.
What do we got here? Yonder Among Thieves. Rhino is in placement rewards. Spider Silk, he's in progression rewards. The Welcome to Shield, running the 27th to the 4th. Rhino Shards in progression, and you'll get tokens to the Rhino and Foes Vault. In Versus, like we said, he's in placement for Web 2.0. His PvP is called Crash Course. That'll run the 27th through the 2nd. He's in progression there, and it'll also get you tokens to the Rhino and Foes Vault. That Vault running the 24th to the 4th. 3-4 stars in there, Rhino, Blob, and a rando that you may get.
Nice.
So, there you go. The hard-charging Rhino. That's exciting. Somebody new, got some good powers. I can see him jumping to the top of the four-star, you know, character list.
Yeah, it seems like fairly quickly once you get him covered, yeah.
Yeah, might be it. All right, well, that's what I had in the news. You guys got anything?
No, that was amazing. I enjoyed every part of that segment.
I was hoping for the clue for the next five-star, but I have not seen one put out yet.
Now you have something to look forward to for next show.
I guess so.
Yes.
All right, let's move along then. Ian, hit me with the top three.
Oh, my. Okay, so this week, our top three. We are exploring our top three, and again, perhaps a week late, but we don't have good ideas on our own, and this idea came after it would have been slightly more relevant. So we're going to cover the top three Super Bowl halftime shows. Now, for whatever reason, I will apologize ahead of time because I took a oddly deep dive on this top three, and I don't know why, really. Like, it didn't motivate me more than the other ones. It's just when I started, I was looking through, you know, just a list of all the performances that have occurred, and my initial thought was, you know, I'll just pick my three favorite artists in an appropriate order, and that'll be it, and I thought, you know, but then I'm not really telling you about Super Bowl halftime shows. I'm just telling you my three favorite artists who played at the Super Bowl. So I went back, and if I watched, my goodness, I probably watched 20 different halftime shows.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just was on YouTube, and if it looked at all, and now I didn't sit through the whole 12 minutes of each one. I just, you know, picked up highlights here and there to see if it was even rankable. Some of the other ones I watched because, you know, we were pointing out that all these older shows, before they started having, like, big headliners, they would have...
Up with People.
Oh, my God. I can't even... Sorry. Sorry. You're going to derail me again. Before we went on, I was talking about tonight's upcoming top three with my wife, and I was telling her about what I discovered, and I mentioned that, and she was like, oh, I love Up with People! She's like, they're so real. I wanted to participate in Up with People. And I was like, that's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't even believe that someone had heard of them, let alone was really enthusiastic about them. And it really, really made my evening. But no, I did not watch them. But there were just some particularly odd descriptions of what happened during these Super Bowl halftime shows. And I needed to know more. And I watched them. And
these are probably in Craig's top three, so.
Oh, well, maybe. I will explore them in my honorable mention, right, sure. But let me start with my number three. And say, so, again, my qualifications after going back and watching through, I want a good mix of you know, halftime show. I want the quality of the performance to match the spectacle of the show and to come together in a really synergistic way. So that was... That's where I was going with it, which is way too far for a top three list, and I deeply apologize, but that's what you're getting this week. So my number three, to my surprise, because but not really, because I know I liked it, but is the Prince at the Super Bowl halftime show. He was like, there were no like crazy surprises or big theatrics other than, you know, a cool looking stage that, you know, looked like his guitar, and he just put on the best set. He was, I mean, the weather was atrocious, and it's just pouring down rain, and he does an It was so good. And then, like, right in the middle of a set, he did a cover of All Along the Watchtower, and then he did a cover of Best of You by the Foo Fighters, and it was even better. And, just thinking about him playing, I believe it was Super Bowl, I don't know, it was back in, like, the middle 2000s, 2007.
That was in my honorable mentions list.
Oh, he was so good. So, yeah, he was my favorite of that. So let's, segue that over to Ray.
Okay. The only reason he was on my honorable mentions list and not in the top three is because he played too many songs that I just did not know. Like
Prince
songs that I am familiar with. There were a couple, but there was stuff, there were a whole bunch that I'm like, I had no...
Well, he did do a lot of covers.
No nostalgia.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, what do you have for number three,
So
Ray?
My number three goes way back... And I have some caveats, and there are reasons why it didn't rank higher. But my number three goes back to 2001, to Aerosmith, NSYNC, Britney, and MJ Blige, and Nelly. Mainly it's because of Aerosmith. I really enjoyed Aerosmith. Everybody, all of those performers getting together and singing Aerosmith at the same time, it was a good show. It was just a good... And this being said, at the time... I hated NSYNC, like, really. I mean, I watched it now, like, last night, and I enjoyed it way more than I would have back then. But still, Aerosmith, I enjoyed them, their performance, so, yeah, that's my...
Yeah, I fully agree with you, and I, having watched that amongst the laundry list of things that I watched, I felt the opposite, but similarly. Aerosmith was my least favorite part of the performance. But, you know, I'm sure when it came out in 2001, I was not all about NSYNC, but they were so good. And at the end of that performance that you were just talking about, when all of them were out there, when Aerosmith and Mary J. and NSYNC and Britney were all singing Walk This Way together, right. Excellent. But yeah, I guess I was the most disappointed in that. The songs that Aerosmith chose were like my two least favorite Aerosmith songs.
Yeah, there are way better Aerosmith songs. Definitely.
Yeah, so that was tough. But yeah, it's a good show. All right. Craig, what do you got for number three?
My number three, I want to tell you a short story here. I almost thought about just having my top three and my three honorable mentions just be the six times that the Steelers won the Super Bowl. But then I looked at the acts that performed in those 6 years, and they were all terrible. So I'm like, all right, no dice.
That's not entirely true, but I like where your head's at.
My number three, however, is Super Bowl 48. This is Bruno Mars and the Chili Peppers.
my other honorable mention.
I was Bruno Mars was fantastic, and then, you know, suddenly the Chili Peppers showed up, and I was like, "What's going on?" It was crazy. I much enjoyed that show.
That's true. Bruno was putting on a really good show, and then Chili Peppers showed up. Yeah, it was a good show. Definitely,
I very much enjoyed Bruno Mars. He puts on a big show.
Sweet,
Ian.
Well. My number two, I will start there. This one was, through my recent review, this one was nearly a perfect blend of genres and surprises and stage presence and just general theatrics, along with excellent singing. And it was definitely Katy Perry. Katy Perry. So she comes out to her song Roar riding on a 25-foot mechanized lion, and it's incredible. And then, and then it just built from there. There was this, for Dark Horse, she had this crazy human chessboard that was moving all around, and then the sharks came out, and I really looked at them this time because I knew that they were just kind of silly, but I didn't know if they were just internet famous or if there was something notable. And the Left Shark did know the choreography a little better than Right Shark, but not enough so that Left Shark should be that much more famous. I didn't appreciate that. But, I mean, she's just... Lenny Kravitz comes out, and the two of them are singing Kiss the Girl, and then she goes into her California stuff, and then Missy appears out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just starts rapping up a storm, and it's so good, and Katie's singing along with her. Ah, man. And then,
They put her on an actual flying pedestal, and they launch off some fireworks as she sings fireworks and floats out of the stadium. It was awesome. It was. I mean, from producer to director to her to the whole crew, awesome show. Yeah. Ray, do you have a number two?
Sure.
Is it Katy Perry?
It is not Katy Perry.
Okay.
Katy Perry did not make my list. I do remember that show.
Fair.
But my number two is from. I actually don't know when the Katy Perry thing was. I think it was a few years before that. And this is because I am just a huge fan of the band, even though the choreography between the members was just off. You could tell that there was some tension between them. But The Who is one of my favorite bands. I thoroughly enjoy every song that they performed. Even though some of it was a bit off, it sounded a little conflicting between the guitarists and the vocals at times, because I don't think their creative geniuses really mesh anymore. But, in any case, that's the only reason it didn't make my number one, because I just really enjoy The Who.
That is such a good call. That's why it didn't make my list. I watched it and they were so disjointed and out of sync.
Yeah.
I was like, I had to stop it. And like, what I told myself was, I need to go listen to what Baba O'Reilly really sounds like.
Yeah. Yes.
I was like, and I did, and it was satisfying. But yeah, I wanted to put that one on my list, but I couldn't. They did a bad job.
Yeah. I think.
But they are The Who, so I kind of let it slide.
Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend just didn't like each other. That's the reason they broke up. And I don't think they've really reconciled. They just got back together to do some of their songs. So
that's fair. All right, Craig.
My number two was Super Bowl 49, which consisted of Katy Perry, Lenny Kravitz, and Missy Elliott.
I figured that was either one or two.
Oh, okay. Nice. I can't believe that wasn't your number one, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I love me some Katy Perry. Lenny Kravitz was fantastic, and Missy Elliott came out and threw down. So, that show, I remember watching that show live and being like, this is amazing. I love every second of it.
They really brought their A game.
Yeah.
So, well, speaking of that, and then mine will be actually brief for a moment because we'll just rehash it. Slightly better than that, in my opinion, was Bruno Mars.
Nice. He was so good.
Bruno Mars, I rewatched that. He didn't have all of the showiness of the Katy Perry, but he was there to perform like I've never seen before. It opens up on him doing like a minute and a half of a drum solo. He's just going nuts and getting sloppy on the drums, and he comes up and he goes right into his songs, and he is amazing. He starts doing like James Brown cover in the middle of it, and some crazy James Brown dancing. And it was super good. And then, he played Runaway Baby right into Give It Away. And then the Chili Peppers appeared and they started rocking alongside of Bruno Mars. And then they wrapped it up and they did this little tribute to people who were deployed. And then he sang Just the Way You Are. And it was awesome. So, so good. It was, again, the perfect mix of showmanship and great music, and just a well-produced halftime show with a weird Chili Peppers surprise in the middle of it. It totally made it worthwhile.
Nice.
All right, Ray, we're at the home stretch.
Yeah, and I maybe I'm biased just because it was just so recent, but go Shorty, it's your birthday. loved.
It's the one and only Ray.
This. Super Bowl 56 with Dre and Snoop. That was just it hit nostalgia. Like the songs they picked was great. Just everything about it, I enjoyed it. I have been listening to that music since the Super Bowl, just nonstop. So yeah, I really really enjoyed most of what's there. And I have to mention, this does mean that Mary J. Blige was in two of my top three picks, which I would never have expected.
I also, that's a fun surprise. I also really loved this year's, but again, after I had been going back through and it was close. It was on my list. And as I rewatched some other ones, it got bumped from my list just because, I feel like 50 Cent and Mary J kind of struggled. They were not, Snoop really did a lot of heavy lifting.
Hey, man, when you're fat and all the blood is rushed to your head, you know, it causes your problems.
Yeah, he was not doing it. But yeah, that was an awesome show.
I think it was a well-produced show.
I agree.
But yeah, I mean, whoever thought that a member of NWA was going to sing in one of the Super Bowl halftime shows? Like, that's crazy. Anyway.
Go ahead, Craig.
All right. I went with Super Bowl 46. This is Madonna with the ridiculousness of adding CeeLo and LMFAO at the height of their terribleness with a splash of Nicki Minaj.
Bold choice.
I knew you would love that choice.
Very bold. I'll tell you why. When I made my original list, this show was on it. I was like, oh my gosh, Madonna. No, have you? No, let me tell you this. Don't go back and rewatch it.
Uh-oh. Did it get bad?
The one that is occurring in your mind is much better because I wanted this one to be on my list. I pushed for this one to be on my list. She spends the first, probably 3 songs lip syncing, clearly lip syncing, like bad dancing and obvious lip syncing. And it was really disappointing. I also deeply dislike LMFAO.
Yeah.
Because
they're bad.
I mean, they're on Front Street about it. It's in the name. Yep. Their name says, our band is a joke. Give us money. And everybody fell for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shame on them. And then, yeah, she did nothing with Nicki and MIA. They just did a tiny little bit part and it was awful. And then she started to have to sing because CeeLo was clearly trying his best. And her singing Like a Prayer with CeeLo was good, but it didn't make up for the rest of the show. I do like getting freaky with CeeLo Green.
Yeah, I mean, CeeLo's wacky. But
yes, he's a rehydrated California raisin.
I remember it being enjoyable, but yes, I did not rewatch it.
Ugh, don't.
All right.
Plus, it was in Lucas Oil Stadium, so I hate that state. Sorry, Indiana.
Wow. A lot of hate
for
Indiana.
On my list.
That's something that normally comes up, the hatred for the state of Indiana. They sell you popcorn. Isn't that where Indiana has its thing? It's like the popcorn capital of the world?
Oh, I believe you. Any honorable mentions? I have 2. But it's wordy if you guys have...
I threw down 2 real quick.
Yeah, you guys already mentioned mine.
Okay. All right, Super Bowl 52 is JT, because I just always enjoy JT.
Sure.
And Super Bowl 54, which was Shakira and J-Lo.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good show.
That was... yeah, once I got over Shakira's new hair color, I really enjoyed it. And I don't love Bad Bunny. So he didn't add anything to the show for me, but I get that one. So my 2 honorable mentions, the quicker of the 2 is I thought The Weeknd did a great job.
Sure.
I don't know a ton of his music, but boy, did he help choreograph a really fantastic halftime show.
That was 2 years ago?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, I think that was good.
It was last year, actually. I loved the fact about it is that as soon as he got the Super Bowl gig, he started to create that character who had like a bandaged nose at first and then a fully bandaged face. And he like played it all the way through until the Super Bowl and then showed you the whole story. I thought that was masterfully done. I don't know a ton of his music, so I wasn't that thrilled, but he was good. Now, the most interesting one that I put on my honorable mention list is I went back because I needed to see some of these, like I was saying, the odd old ones.
Sure.
Oh, God.
Come on.
I dipped in because I wanted to see the one that was supposed to be, that had the Blues Brothers. And I didn't, I didn't love that one because Jim Belushi in place of John Belushi made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
And then I saw a different one that was like, it was Disney characters and New Kids on the Block. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, I checked that out. Ugh. So the theme for that one is the first all kids halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
I turned that off almost immediately. However, I did go to investigate the one. Let me see if I can and find it here on
the Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Forbidden.
The Indiana Jones one.
Yeah.
So Super Bowl, let's see, XXIX, so 1029. Super Bowl 29?
Yeah.
Yes. 1995. It says that it stars Indiana Jones and Marion Ravenwood
And I'm like, I gotta watch this. So, Craig, are you sitting down?
Yeah. I do not remember this. So
Okay, so it's imagine a kind of almost a Broadway, not a Broadway, I'm sorry, a Vegas show. But not a good Vegas show, the kind that they give away free tickets for.
Okay. As long as
like casino promotion.
Sure. I have to go and sit through and talk and hear about a timeshare.
No, not that good of a show.
Oh, okay.
You're not gonna get to go to you know, Cirque du Soleil or Penn and Teller with these tickets. You're going to get to go see Indiana Jones and Marion Ravenwood as the Walt Disney halftime
show. We're talking about like Showgirls of Magic style here.
Yeah, but less exciting.
Okay.
But yes, that quality. So we open up in the Temple of Doom. And for some reason, Indiana and Marion are running through the Temple of Doom, fighting goons, making their way to the Great Khali, who has the Lombardi Trophy.
Oh.
And they're stealing the Lombardi Trophy from him. Mm-hmm. And as they enter his chambers, who is there but Patti LaBelle serenading everybody. And she does an awesome job. I mean, she's got a beautiful voice. And meanwhile, you know, not Harrison Ford is battling goons and Marion's getting captured and she's screaming for help. So they finally escape with a Lombardi Trophy, and they're running down the streets of whatever town they're at, and they duck into a local cabaret to get away from the villains. And who's in there performing? You guessed it, Tony Bennett. So Tony Bennett attempts to sing a song while not Indiana Jones and not Marion Ravenwood are battling evil villains, spurred on by the Great Khali. And Craig. And then they come back, and Patti LaBelle sings another song, and this goes on to Patti LaBelle and Tony Bennett finale, and then the two of them, Indiana Jones and Marion, escape with the Lombardi Trophy and are ushered off to safety.
Wow.
It was awful, but magnificent in its own way. I couldn't even imagine something like that being a halftime show, and it was wild. Yeah, some of the fringier ones that I got to watch the year before that was an all-country cast of, like, Tanya Tucker and the Judds. I didn't care for that. The Blues Brothers one was weird, like I said. There were some other ones that I was watching, and I was like, I don't know how they... who greenlights this stuff?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. I've spent my last 2 days watching Super Bowl halftime shows on YouTube.
I'm going to have to watch this Indiana Jones thing because it sounds ludicrous.
Yeah, it's worth a watch. Just expect to be horribly disappointed.
Oh, my goodness, Craig. My retelling of it was much better than it was.
Yeah, I did not remember that at all.
That's a good one. I don't even remember who was in that Super Bowl.
I don't know. I wonder if I was working that night and didn't really get to watch it.
Back in 95.
San Diego versus San Francisco.
Oh, there you go.
The San Diego Superchargers?
Yep.
Yeah.
Huh.
Chargers versus the 49ers.
The San Francisco football 49ers.
Yep. This wiki page has everything, by the way.
It really does. It's personal. Does it perchance have what my last week's question was?
Oh, I don't think so. They're not that good.
All right. I'll check my notes. Craig, can we get a trivia intro, or do we have a top three outro?
All right. Let's head over to the Quizmaster of 78 Facts and Drive.
Look at your Discord.
Look at my Discord.
Oh, Ian.
Oh.
I'm
like, that's a weird outro.
did I say who created Captain America's shield?
Yeah.
Yeah. The answer I have is Dr. Myron McClain.
McBain.
Obviously, I don't know the other answer. I just felt like they tried to say that Tony's dad invented it or something like that. Is old Stark? Is he the one who made it up in the movies?
I thought so, yeah.
I thought so, too.
Howard?
Yeah, I think they imply
Stark
that
in the
least,
MCU,
yeah.
Dr. Myron McClain.
And that's what Teeth thinks, so I think we're good.
That makes it true. All right, let's learn about this week's. Okay, this week's trivia question is, it's for everybody, but it's also for Craig.
Oh.
What is the name of the agency owned by Namor that also helps to fund the Heroes for Hire?
Wow!
The question, once again, what is the name of the agency owned by Namor that also helps to fund the Heroes for Hire?
Don't answer it now.
It's Rex trivia.
Yeah, I will tell you next week.
That's exciting.
If you do need to answer now, direct message me in Discord. Please don't shout it out.
Shout, shout, let it all out. Oh, let's move on then.
Yes, you're back. Thanks, Craig.
Willie, is there anything in the mailbag?
All right, mail time. Let's see what we've got.
Mail time!
All right, there you go. Thanks, Willie.
Just makes me want a whale. Whale!
Whale!
All right, somebody, seriously, send Ray something to read. He's bored.
I am not bored.
Pick a language, any language.
Oh, we'll we're totally fine. That's why my top three was so long.
Feel free to send something in, but I am not bored.
All right. Once again, then, I'm Hans.
And I am Franz.
And we just want
to
pump. You up.
You up. That was some good intro. Let's see what we got going on in these boosted character. Let's see. 3-star players. We've got Black Panther. His black AoE will be increased in damage, as will the quality of the strike tiles he creates with yellow and the protect tiles he creates with blue. Dr. Doom, better attack tiles, more purple damage if you get enough purple trap tiles and purple. That's a lot of purple. He also does something else, but I don't think it's boosted. Iron Man 40, blue AoE and red direct damage are both increased. Kamala Khan, green AoE, boosted, healing, boosted. 3-star Thanos, I believe he's similar to 5-star Thanos. His court death will do more damage. Something else happens. Come and get me prevents things from happening on the board. Maybe it gives him more match damage. I couldn't tell you. His black is the only one that I was ever enthusiastic about, so it's the only thing I've ever retained. Let's learn about 4-stars for the 4-star players and 4-star adjacent players. We've got Agent Coulson, who is boosted this week. More damage when you switch tiles with his purple. Depending on what the shield minions do for his yellow, they'll have varyingly boosted effects. And his, if you can activate his super secret tech, it does a little more damage. Cloak and or dagger. Those light knives, more damage. The Child of the Light heals better. Child of Darkness, better attack tiles. And Pocket Dimension does more damage. Oh, good old Falcon. Captain Falcon, the 4-star version. Whose picture I enjoy here. He is definitely one of my go-to guys in Super Smash Bros. Better protect tiles from his yellow. Better buffing from his blue. And a ton of damage from his red, but expensive. Let's see. This is probably Shuri. And more damage from our twin blasters, and more damage from the being a Vibranium Virtuoso. It also looks like Spider-Woman is boosted this week. More AoE from her red, more damage from the fear half of Love and Fear, and it's harder for her Seeking Redemption to activate.
I saw that. I'm like, Space Ghost? When did Space Ghost get in this game?
Oh, yeah, I know. I saw that, too. I was pumped. I was like, who's Space Ghost fighting? And I was like, oh, Spider-Woman. All right, let's see what these 5-stars are all about. 5-star Daredevil. What's this guy do better? Bigger yellow strike tiles, more self-healing. Let's see, more damage with his purple, and the countdowns in his green are dealing more damage. Onslaught, he's boosted. Let's see, his astral projection makes better attack tiles. Know His Name does more damage per tile. And his Psychic Blast does more damage per attack tile in the path. And this looks like Star-Lord. And he is more damage from his green and better healing from his yellow. And lastly, Samurai Deacon, Wolverine, is boosted. More damage and better strike tiles from his red. More damage from his black. And more damage and more healing from his green. Let's see what Samurai can tell you about these crazy characters. 3-stars get Kamala Khan and Thanos. They've got, just add someone with cheap powers and enjoy the both of them. 4- and 5-star players. You want to see what Rhino can do? Feed his colors. Coulson lets you move tiles to get whatever color you want. Cloak and Dagger feeds his black for Rhino-mite. Cool. 5-star Star-Lord makes lots of green to feed Rhino's trample. I don't know what I'm just going to read it and not understand it. Onslaught's TU destroying passive can really improve your board. Yeah, and get ready, you'll see a ton of Onslaught in PvP as well.
Yeah, he blows up all the team-ups when you make a match for
him. Team-ups! That makes sense. I bet if I knew more about Onslaught, I would have known that.
Onslaught, or more about, by the way,
basic abbreviations.
Onslaught is a just total amazeballs with Shang-Chi.
Really?
Shang-Chi makes match fours very easily with his abilities. Like, you can line him up, and then he does a ton of damage, and then you get Onslaught backing him up and doing a ton of damage with the team-up tiles bursting, and it's a mess.
The only thing I don't like about it is I've never seen his blue power actually do anything.
His blue... What's his...
Psychic Blast?
Yeah, like, it makes some lines across the board, and I'm like, did anything happen? No? Okay, move it up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there has to be attack. There has to be attack tiles in that line, and the more attack tiles you have in that line, the more damage you do.
Yeah, it seems that the computer doesn't actually ever pick anywhere that it could do that to you.
Yeah.
Sure.
It just fires it on, picks a random square.
But that is... Like, oh. That is something, the computer does pick a random square, but that is something that's also useful when you use him with Shang-Chi, is because he can, the other thing it does is it transmutes one color to another color. So if you see what it's changing and you can get something to change into red or purple to feed Shang-Chi, I mean, yeah, it's just even more devastating. It's a good little team up. It's in the list.
There you go.
I love it. Well, that's his boosted this week. Listen to me now and believe me later. Thanks, as always, to Mystify.
Mystify. Ray, is there a team-up time?
There is. There definitely is. This week, provided to me by Chipman. Hi, Chipman. So this, he says, here's a suggested synergy team-up for players still in the four-star land, but want to make headway against the goons in SCL-10. So, fairly relevant. Also, I like this team because it uses the brand new character of Doc Ock 4-star. He says, during the Apocalypse boss event, I became impressed with the 4-star Doc Ock's special tile removal passive. I remembered when I was in the 4-star land how hard it was to progress past the goons, Magia, the mutants, etc., because they were laying down the countdown tiles just so quickly. I wondered if there was a 4-star team where Doc Ock could help out other 4-star players with the SCL-10 and advance a bit farther in the play and get you more rewards. I quickly found out that Doc Ock can protect you forever from these goons, but you need a way to do a lot of damage or else you'll just be playing forever because the goons can get like 100,000 plus health. I came up with this team that negates goon abilities to do any damage, and then focuses on activating some powers to make them go away. So you got 4-star Doc Ock. He recommends a 4-4-5 build. You use his blue to create tentacle tiles, yellow to generate black for your second character. Your second character is 4-star Gamora at a 5-5-3. You use her deadliest woman passives for that insta-kill. And then you can also use her red, because sometimes the insta-kill is delayed or whatever. The red does a decent amount of damage. So you're using Doc Ock's yellow to generate black for Gamora. The third player is 4-star Star-Lord, also at a 5-5-3. His purple can be used to convert some basic purples into countdowns, so you don't have to rely on Gamora's black to get every basic purple tile. And his yellow generates AP and helps make things go a bit faster. He said he used this team to go through a Magia Goon progression in SCL-10. It was even effective in the last node, which had Juggernaut and a couple goons. This is where Gamora's stun came in handy, because you can feed her blue as well and stun anybody who's not a goon. He said he also used it to get past the ISO 8 mutants all the way through SCL-10. The mutants lay down purple-green countdowns, so you do sometimes have to use Doc Ock's blue to switch out tiles and make purple or green tentacles. The idea behind his tentacles is if you have him at that build at a 4-4-5, I think it is, every color that has a tentacle tile on it automatically destroys special tiles that the enemy has put out. So those countdowns are just automatically, they just go away at the beginning of every turn. So overall, this team has three ways to convert basic purple tiles into Gamora's insta-kill. You've got Star-Lord's yellow passive, which allows your powers to fire off more quickly. You've got Doc's yellow active power to generate AP where you need it. If the opposing team is all Magia or ISO 8, you should never need Gamora's stun. And he does throw in a caveat at the end. Still need to try this against, like, Mindless Ones, Doombots, Sentinels. But it really seems like a pretty good thing against, you know, your non-player character kind of teams. It's a niche team for sure, but if you're trying to get through SEL-10, it does make a surefire way to get past all the goons. So, there you go. Very well thought out, I think. And, yeah, that's your team up for this week. And thanks, as always, to Unify.
Unify.
Ian, you got Steam open?
You bet.
All right, you want to open a token?
Doing it. It's a 5-star. It's Cersei, the Gift of Transmutation.
Ooh.
I think that takes my Cersei to a 3. It does.
Look at you go.
The ever-popular 030.
I got 5 tokens.
I will be opening 1, but Ian was way too quick.
Sorry, I'm needlessly prepared for this show.
All right, my first one is Blob. Number 2, Gwenpool. Number 3, Safari Joe. 4 is a purple. You spin me right round, baby, like a record.
Nice.
Jackson Wheel. Oh, another purple. Cersei, Eternal Life. I don't know where that, let me see where that gets.
Take you to a 2-1?
It takes me to a 0-1-1. On Cersei, the big wheel is now at a 2-3-3.
Wow.
Look at that big wheel go.
That's pretty nice.
What you got, Ray?
You got big wheel way more than I do. But I am apparently getting a 4-star. Oh, classic. Red Hawk. Seeing red.
Nice.
Very classic. I'm still storing up tokens for Cersei to leave.
All right. Thanks, then, always, to the OG, this guy.
This guy.
Ian, what's on the Podcast Network?
The Podcast Network, which is the soon-to-be-named network, which can be found at soon-to-be-named-network.com. It's got this and several other podcasts to help flush out your podcast listening day. Check us out at soon-to-be-named-network.com.
Anything else for the good of the order?
How'd you do with that apocalypse event?
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you not hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Oh, you did okay. I thought that was okay with a question mark.
No, I did okay.
Oh, I heard okay? Like you had no idea what I could be referencing or well,
I wasn't
who
sure
I
why,
was.
why you cared about the apocalypse event, but
oh, I played it because I wanted to be clear that when I get down on it, it is probably one of the most thoughtful and well-crafted team events that there is. But, you know, just for me personally, unfortunately, I'm at a point after 8 or so years where I just don't want to be challenged. I just want to do the bare minimum so that my alliance doesn't yell at me, stop making me think about what I need to do to win these battles.
Do you have a usable kitty?
No.
Okay.
Nope, I usually get it done with Teen Jean. Her ability to eat attack tiles and get the death tiles off the board make it much easier for me. Although, that and trying to find someone who doesn't have a color shared with Apocalypse, because whenever my color that I have to get 9 of is red, I'm never going to get those 9 red.
Right, he just takes all of it, yeah.
Yeah, never going to get those 9 red, so I have to manage tiles with Jean, and then hope that my Wolverine is big enough and green enough that I can target green.
I have to say, this time I made I had some problems, but luckily what I was using was Phoenix, and so anytime those death tiles came out and I couldn't get rid of them, I just let her take it.
Sure.
It would kill her, wipe her off the board. Next round she's back even better. So
nice.
That really helped. And then yeah, I threw Kitty in to get rid of the attack tiles, and usually she would be able to get rid of the death countdowns as well, but not always. But yeah, Phoenix was the way to go for me.
Awesome.
I just always use my normal team and just kill him all at once. With damage.
See, I like that plan, and I need to start that. So whenever there's an event like that, I'm like dazzled by the boosted characters, and I can't even think to use a normal team.
Oh no, I just use Five Buck Chuck and Gritty Kitty.
Nice.
And I, you know, she boosts tiles for a few matches, and then I make some matches, and he just dies all at once. So I don't worry about him regenerating. I don't worry about getting rid of the tiles for the most part. I just
right.
just kill him. Yeah, I'd imagine. Yeah, I think Samurai's right. If you've got a workable Shang-Chi, you should just be able to beat him in a submission pretty quickly.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah. All right, then. Thanks, everybody, for joining us here this week. PuzzleWarriors3.com. Please send Ray some things. I feel bad for him. I think he's lonely. head over to our Amazon. You know, head to our webpage, click the Amazon banner, buy some stuff. That would be nice. It's there's got to be some holiday coming up where we need something. I don't know. What's the next holiday?
St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, or if you're in this town, it's St. Patty's Day.
Nope.
Get
never has been, never will
go
be.
Go buy a big shamrock for your front door. That seems to be the thing to do this year.
I don't think so. I'm not gonna.
No, it really is the thing to do. Like, it's everywhere in my neighborhood.
Hmm. All right. That doesn't mean my wife won't do it. I'm just saying I'm not gonna do it.
If you are gonna do it through the Amazon banner on our webpage.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. All right. Goodbye for now. Remember, kids, I'm from Iowa. I only work in outer space. Good night, everyone.
Goodbye, friends.
Good night. That was a good clue.
They're all good clues, Ray.
No, they're not.